This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:45. This is Nation Radio. We're around until 2 o'clock, and then it's Jungle Jim on the radio. We've been talking about the Edmonton Oilers and their day two of their draft, featuring names like Jajar Kara. And, you know, I'm going to have a hard time. If he doesn't turn into something resembling Jar Jar Binks name-wise, I'll be surprised. That's going to be a tough one. John McCarron, I found out about him. He's enrolled in the College of Human Ecology at Cornell. Now, this isn't hockey information, but it is actual information on these guys. Joey LaLicia, he looks like an interesting guy. Defenseman out of Denver, offensive player. Eric Gustafson, he's 20, and I have a photograph of him on my blog yelling something like a football player would. And Daniel Zharkov, interesting player there. And Mitch Moraz, who has been the subject basically since this morning when I got up. I think it was about, actually, I got up about 5 o'clock in the morning and was doing some things. But once the draft started at number 32, the internet has been alive with Oilers fans saying, ah, what now? And certainly he was a reach pick. I think Bob McKenzie had him at 56 or 58, and the Oilers took him at 32. And you could always make the argument that a trade down was the thing to do. But I think if you look at it from the Oilers' point of view, they lost Samuelson. He was a guy that they liked a lot. Moraz is a guy who they had on their list, may have had him next up. And so they passed on some skill to get a guy who we always call them the Coke machines, but he's a big guy with skill. He can take and make a pass. He improved a great deal from beginning of the year to the end of the year. We're going to talk to Corey Graham about that in just a little bit. But right now we're going to get reaction from him. This is a guy who is pretty excited about being drafted by the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's unbelievable. I couldn't be happier with the way things worked out. It's a dream come true for me and my family, for sure.
Tell me about, I mean, you play for the Oil Kings. I know you're born in Calgary, but you've been an Oilers fan. What's it like to pull on that jersey today?
Well, it's once in a lifetime. I mean, it feels good, and it fit well, so it felt right. So I couldn't picture myself in any other jersey, and that's where I wanted to be. So I think they knew that, and I think that helped my case as well.
Yeah, and I don't think it was a big secret that they were high on you. I mean, were you surprised, I guess, that it was 32nd overall? Or, I mean, was that kind of what you thought? What were you thinking?
Well, when you get into those the later rounds and anything after the first, anything can really happen. And if a team likes you and they're not sure if you're going to be there with their next pick, they're going to take that pick for you. And that's what happened. And, again, it's just the way it worked out, so...
What was this whole experience like going through the combine and getting set? I mean, you must have been pretty nervous last night. Did you sleep much at all?
I slept fine. I mean, I tried not to worry about it too much.
Yeah.
Everything's just been a whirlwind and happened so fast. And we had a great year as a team. And that's where I give all my credit to, as my teammates and the organization, the coaching staff. And they did a great job and helped me out so much. So everything's just been happening really quick. So... I haven't really stepped back to take it in yet, but I'm sure it'll set in.
Mitch Moraz joins us here of the Edmonton Oil Kings, second round pick of the Edmonton Oilers at the 2012 draft. And you talk about that long season, kind of finishing up at the Memorial Cup and that awesome experience. And then, you know, right into it. I think you guys flew out a couple of days later to go to Toronto. It's just, you mentioned whirlwind. It must just be a crazy time for you right now.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I mean, we had a great year, and all the success came from all our team success. So, I mean, it's definitely been crazy for me and how my family is and myself been trying to process this the best we can. And I think we've handled it well, and we're just going to continue to move forward and keep pursuing this new goal. So it's pretty awesome.
How excited were your parents today?
It was funny. I mean, the way it worked out, my dad was actually coming back down the stairs quick because he heard Edmonton was picking, and he just thought maybe,
yeah,
like, well, what if this happened? So he's coming down the stairs quick, and sure enough, he got down there right in time. And I mean, we were all just so ecstatic and kind of in shock. I mean, when you hear your name, it's like you want it to happen, then when it does, you're just in shock. So it's pretty cool. I mean, family couldn't be happier as well.
Mitch Moraz joining us here, and also good news for a couple of your teammates with the Oil Kings and Griffin Reinhart and Henrik Samuelson on Friday night. Are you excited to see those guys get their opportunity as well?
Yeah, I couldn't be happy for those guys. Those are two deserving guys, and Griff's a stud, and Sammy worked hard to get to where he is and had an interesting year coming over with us, and then had a great finish. So both their stock rose through our team's success again, and I mean, I couldn't be happy for those guys and the guys that didn't go. I mean, I'm sure they'll get their chance again, and I know we're all just going to continue to push each other, and we'll move forward, and guys will get their crack.
Talking about stock rising, I mean, you came into camp, I guess, in early question marks, I guess, a little bit. You were, what, 170th on the first rankings. You moved way up, and now here you are, a second-round pick. Were there times where you kind of wondered if this would ever happen, or were you pretty sure that if you played well and worked hard and your team had success, this was going to be an opportunity for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just continued to work, and that was the biggest thing, was just moving forward. And again, the team just helped me out so much, and everything just kind of started to click for me, and it's just funny it worked out that way, and hard work does pay off, like they say, and I just couldn't be happier again.
Yeah, and I mean, it must be nice to have this now kind of passed, and you don't have to worry about the draft anymore, hey?
Yeah, no, it's a relief. It's a good feeling, and then you're relieved as well. And you think about it a lot, as much as you try not to, but for it to finally be done, it's sure nice.
How about Twitter? You blow up pretty good?
Yeah, the phone's, I'm not sure if the phone's broken yet, but it's sure blown up pretty good.
That's Mitchell Moraz, who was drafted 32nd overall by the Edmonton Oilers, and of course Corey Graham in conversation with the 6'2", 210-pound winger for the Edmonton Oil Kings and a draft pick of the Edmonton Oilers, and we're joined now by Corey Graham. Corey, interesting interview. He sounds like a very nice young man.
Yeah, and I know he's really happy to be drafted by the Oilers. You know, he's from Calgary, but he's been a lifelong Oilers fan, so he was pretty happy this morning, that's for sure.
He's a guy who, and we talked about this earlier with Kent Simpson and with Jason Gregor as well. You mentioned it in the interview. He started the year. He was definitely down the depth chart. He moved his way up. But in terms of when you look at his year, you know, he played 66 regular season games and then another 20 in the playoffs. Scored 20 goals overall. His time on ice from beginning to the end of the year, he really earned a lot more by midseason and then again by the playoffs, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Alan. I think he's a guy that sort of, you know, in his first year in the Western Hockey League, kind of took some time to sort of learn what he needed to do to stay in the lineup with a pretty deep team in the Edmonton Oil Kings and, you know, earn some spots. And I heard you talking to Kent about it, about how he played, you know, third, fourth line minutes. But when Derek Laxdal, Steve Hamilton needed a change, they'd move him up to the top two lines, and he wouldn't look out of place. You know, he's a guy that can pretty much play anywhere in the lineup and contribute. You know, lots of talk about how he steps up and defends his teammates, but he's able to chip in offensively as well. And I think with a bigger role next year, look out for this kid, because he's going to be a power forward in the Western League. And I think his confidence is finally starting to get there now that he's kind of gone through all this and seen his stock rise all throughout the year. And now it's all culminated with a second round draft pick.
Do you see him as a player who might, and I'm just thinking out loud here, take some of Pelch's minutes, who obviously won't be with the team this next year? Do you think he'll get more, top six time this coming season?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, you saw during the playoffs at times he got moved up with Michael St. Croix and Curtis Lazar a little bit and was able to perform there. He was mostly kind of in a shutdown role, but he's a guy that I think for sure is going to be a top six guy. And I know you guys talked about him having more time and space out on the ice. He's going to get it, and he's already one of the more feared guys in the league. I know a lot of players won't fight him when he tries to get him to get involved with that sort of thing as well. So I really think the sky's the limit for this guy. And I always hate putting comparisons on guys, but you look at what Milan Lucic did with the Vancouver Giants his first year, kind of similar numbers. And then we all know what happened after he was a second round pick of the Boston Bruins, what he's become. So, you know, maybe that's sort of the ceiling you kind of look at with a guy like Moraz if he can get there.
Well, and I also think that's, you know, the Oilers probably are looking at that, you know, not thinking that he will absolutely do it because you can never count on it. But a lot of these guys who, like Lucic, looked like just, you know, every other guy, 9 goals and 10 assists, and then he just explodes with 30 goals and 38 assists, and that's opportunity and skill, obviously. But this is a guy who obviously the Oilers saw something in. How much of him going at 32 do you think had to do with the Oilers losing out on Samuelson, who ended up going number 27?
Yeah, I think so for sure. I think one of those two guys were clearly in Stu McGregor's plan. You know, you talked about how often they had a chance to watch those two guys especially play, and that's what the Oilers need. They need a big, tough forward that can go to the net, that's not afraid to mix things up. And, you know, I don't think there's a huge drop-off between Henrik and Mitch. I think, you know, Mitch may be a little bit slower to get there right now, but, you know, with Henrik's higher pedigree, I guess, kind of got the minutes, and well-deserved. He earned them and was the Oil Kings' best player in the Memorial Cup, like you talked about. But, you know, I think Mraz is a guy that can step into that mold and sort of fashion himself after Samuelson and can be a guy that can play that way as well in the National Hockey League. And I've had scouts kind of tell me that some of them think that Mitch might have a higher upside than Henrik does. And, you know, I guess that'll be told in 5-6 years from now. But definitely the same kind of mold, and it's definitely something the Oilers have been lacking for the past few years. The guy's not afraid to put his shoulder down and drive hard to the front of the net and, you know, get involved physically and be able to chip in as well.
We got about a minute here, but I wanted to ask you about Griffin Reinhardt, too, who ended up going fourth overall to the Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, what a pro. There's not enough you can say about what this kid did this year and just how he acted. We all know what he does off the ice, but what he's like off the ice is just amazing, Alan. This kid's already carrying himself like a pro, and little things he does away from the rink or just with the guys, you can tell he's going to be a longtime National Hockey Leaguer, of course, with the pedigree he has as well. But I think the Islanders got a hell of a kid with Griffin Reinhardt, and I'm honestly kind of worried about him possibly sticking with the Isles next year. That would put a big cramp in the Oil Kings' plans, I would think.
Now, you're back off holiday, so we can look forward to hearing you every night, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Back at it as of Thursday night. So, yeah, looking forward to being busy once again.
All right, Corey. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Thank you.
All right. Corey Graham, and thank him very much for the interview that he passed along with Mitch Mraz just a few minutes ago. An interesting guy and a player that I think we're going to warm to as time goes on. A bit of a surprise where he was taken. The Oilers obviously had him in mind along with Samuelson around that number, and they ended up taking him. And interesting draft. We'll have more on that and much more next Saturday on Nation Radio. I want to thank our guests. Of course, Dustin Nielsen. We had Jason Greger on as well. Kent Wilson and Kent Simpson. Thomas Drance. Robert Cleave, Corey Graham. Did I forget anybody? Mark, we had a lot of guests on today. We really did. I thought it was a better show. Less me, more guest. Maybe we should try that.
And less Connor.
Connor is winning $1 million in Vegas, so he may or may not be back next week. You know, I mean, he's a young guy. If he wins enough, we may never see him again. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the sunshine, and congratulations to all the kids who got drafted.